in association with PandaValleyShook.com. Here we are in February. At Go Show, the original LSU podcast, coming to you via the Skype airwaves on a Wednesday night, National Signing Day edition of the show. And here we are, podcast, pushing buttons behind the scenes. Kerry Munch, your host. Patrick Morris, my half
a partner. Call me your lovely co-host, because I'm not going to go there.
What's that? Whatever. I'll call you lovely. You're lovely, Pat. And from Anna Valley Shook, Dan Davis. Hey, Dan.
Hey.
You know him as Paul Crew. And also co-founder of another podcast, I hear. That's what the rumor mill is preaching out. That there
sources
are telling me there's another podcast that is being leaked out on Annabella Shook airwaves. And I took it as a sign that me and Pat should maybe step up our game, but maybe I shouldn't look at it as competition. Maybe I'll look at it in terms of, you know, there were four writers of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is just two more guys who have got to say their piece because they can't ever connect with me and Pat. So
I think it's more like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with, and I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you not to, you're not trying to overthrow us or nothing like that, okay?
Well, it comes at you from two different angles, so I think we're good. We can share the limelight with them, you know.
The two different angles being one that's in the know and the other people who just spitball and just throw shit out there.
We speak with emotion half the time.
So anyway, as I said, this is the Go Show, your original LSU podcast. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can do that via, first of all, go to the site, www.andavalleyshook.com. We plug that. That's where you're going to find a show uploaded to the site in a couple of days. But easiest way on your smartphone device is to go to iTunes, search the Go Show, and subscribe to it from there. It's free. It's free to listen. Like us on Facebook, too. Pat, we're continuing to grow. I'm telling you, we've hit... I said before the season started. I said before the season started, I wanted, I think, like 250 likes. Well, we're up over 300. Now I'm calling out all the good-looking ladies to come and like the show. Any all you secret closet podcasting listeners out there, go to Facebook. And if I need to put a profile picture up of myself to entice you to like the page, I'm going to do that. So.
We said draw them to the site, right?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
All right, they'll draw them to the site. They'll go intrigued, looking to see what I look like, and then they'll quickly just leave.
It's not the same one you put on Match.com, is it?
No, it's a different one. I have different picks for every one of my dating websites.
Okay, good.
Every one. I give people different looks, you know. So, all right. So it's signing day, and. LSU basketball, always. We'll talk about that a little bit too, I guess, since we are here actually recording a show in the wintertime, which is rare, when it's not, you know, particular. You know, I think we've done maybe one or two recruiting shows over the last few years. I don't know with any good certainty if we did one last year or not. We may have, but signing day has come and gone. I guess the biggest disappointment was who was the linebacker from Texas?
Lawson. Fowler.
I was thinking Lawson. Fowler. Went ahead and switched and flipped to Texas on it happened today, right? He was a committed guy up until he signed, right? Okay. Yeah, that sucks. So it still leaves us a little bit thin linebacker, but you know, all in all, it was the class that everybody thought, and you add the addition of Lindsey Scott, the quarterback out of Zachary, into that mix, and you got a pretty good class. Anywhere from, I think, what, 1 to 3 is what they're saying?
I think the latest came out in the afternoons from 3 to, I want to say, one site was retardedly had us like at 8 or something. It may have moved up from there.
Yeah, And I'm sure Alabama made a late push to get up to the top 3 or something like that, you know, just because it's Alabama and, you know, whatever. Other notables, guy that we were recruiting at one point, Rashawn Gary, I think he signed with Michigan today, so they're all excited over there and in Auburn. My new boss was all excited. He was like, so I was like, yeah, whatever. You're not gonna do anything. So anyway, but you know, address some needs, and you know, hopefully going forward, you know, another stellar recruiting class. We'll see if it translates on the field. So we'll see what happens. I'll open it up to y'all, and I'm gonna quit babbling on. So Patrick, go ahead.
Oh, so you want me to babble on?
Yeah, you go ahead and babble. That's what this shit is.
Your turn to babble.
It's going to be 45 minutes of babbling. I'm going for 15. You go for 15. And then Dan goes for 15. And then we go for 15 together.
Yes. Okay, I got you.
Okay.
All right. Well, overall, I mean, obviously you can't argue with it. Whether you look at it as number one, three, or six, you can't argue with the class coming in. I think, you know, looking at the people coming in, we definitely, the defense was the focus. I mean, we said it needed to pick up. Even though our defense hasn't been bad, obviously you've got a new defensive coordinator. You've got the stellar line coach, which Ogeron, you could tell his presence being felt this year with those D-line commits. once again, you know, DBU, no offense to Florida, but DBU is still back in effect at LSU. So, I mean, I look for this class, besides what you've got returning already, that's the scary part, is the amount of kids that are returning to school to go along and teach these young kids the way it should be. So, overall, defensively, what they say, defense wins championships, offense sells tickets. So, you know, we need to sell a few more tickets maybe, but at least we'll have the defense to compete with the Alabama, you know. And the thing I like about this class is the D-line. So, Alabama manhandled us this last year in the D-line with their offensive linemen in that game. I think we addressed that need right there. If we can, you know, hold our own up front, allow our one-on-ones to cover on the side with this kind of class, that's what I'm excited about. I'm almost even more excited the fact that we actually went try and get a kicker that looks pretty decent out there. So, I mean, we may not coach him up, but at least we got a kicker. And no Australian in this class, so a little surprising there.
Damn it.
You know, we kind of broke a streak. I'm sure we'll pick up one off the soccer team or something. But no, other than that, I think we addressed every need. The only thing that is lacking out of this class really is probably your punter, you know, type of player, or your running back. But we're loaded at running back anyway. So
we signed a top running back in the state, by way to do your homework.
Well, no, wait, hang on. But but what I'm saying is, by the time
he's an early enrollee.
That's right. That's why I missed it, because they didn't say it today.
But he might play linebacker, so.
Yeah, he's like 250 pounds. We might need him at linebacker.
Well, actually, we may need him at fullback. You know, he bulks up a little bit. Anyway, sorry. Like I said, we're not the informative show. We're just the show that talks. But anyway, no, I'm excited about it, especially the defensive side of the ball. I think we, you know, with the new D coordinator coming in, everything got going on, I look for this defense to be once again ranked among the top, you know, one, two, and three in the country. And that's where you win.
Yeah, I think we can find a punter in the States that can shank punts. We don't need to go to Australia to find that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I could do that.
I just had to get one more Jamie Keene shot in. You know, it was
part of
the shot. It was my thing during the football. It was my thing during the fall. I had to slide one in there. So
I think it's fair.
So is he back next year? I don't even know.
No.
Okay. So I'm glad I got that jab in.
So you're good.
There's a couple of loyal listeners that will appreciate that one. He knows who he is. Dan, what do you say? What do you have to say?
Yeah, Patrick nailed it a lot. I mean, I don't know if you guys got to listen to Les today in his little presser, but he talked a lot about what Patrick was talking about, like rebuilding the lines, and he kept saying, like, we got big, long, strong guys up front that can really, you know, kind of push people around. And like you said, like Arkansas and Alabama kind of pushed us around. Ole Miss didn't really, because that's not their style, but those two teams definitely did. And it seemed like this was kind of the answer to that. Like, we got to go and get some big boys to combat the fact that we're just getting out physical. And that's our style. Like, we're not a spread, you know, flashy type team. We're big physical Maulie type team that's going to run play action and throw downfield. So if you're going to be that style, you got to have the right kind of people. And I think this was their answer. Like, we need bigger bodies up front on offense and bigger bodies up front on defense so we don't get run over. The depth showed at the end of the year, you know, like, I know Derrick Henry got like 9,000 carries against us, but he did go for over 200 yards, which I think he's the first guy since Cam Newton to do that against us, right? Something like that. But
probably, yeah. Probably crazy.
We definitely looked like, I thought for sure, I don't know if you guys feel that way, but we looked worn out on defense. I mean, it seemed like early part of the year we were bust happy, like giving up tons of big plays. And that happened till late in the season too, I guess. But then Bama and Arkansas, their ability to sort of out-physical us showed up to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you need that big, what was a player that used to play for the Saints and the Patriots, that big, huge guy in the middle, weighed about 350, and you just couldn't get around him. You know, that's the kind of player we need, somebody to clog that middle. It's going to take two people to block him if on a running play, and you allow those quick ends. They're not going to run outside on us. They can get up the field, and you've already got your middle block. But where we were at the end of the season, you were having to take your ends and kind of stun them inside just to guard that inside run and hopefully make your outside linebackers and cornerbacks come up and make the tackle. We got to get away from that and let our ends make the tackle, not let them get outside and just clog that middle with that inside linebacker and that nose tackle.
Yeah, Les even said something about we got stronger today. I'm going to butcher the quote, but it was something like we're stronger now, maybe not even through scheme, but just through players. Like, it was clear he felt like we've upgraded our ability to be physical. That was basically what he said. So yeah, now let's see if those guys play right away. I don't know.
Well, I think you're going to have a few of them, especially your early enrollees, you know, which I missed the Devin White type of deal coming in. But yeah, I think you'll see some of those guys step up right away, at least to give us a little backup depth. And you know they're going to be hitting the weight room. Moffitt's going to freaking bulk these boys up another 20 pounds. You'll turn some of that baby fat to heaven. Because you can look at some of these high school kids. It's funny when you see them on the TV or in their interviews, and you can tell the difference between a junior in college that's 295 and that high school player that's 295, the amount of, like, the baby in them, you know, that they turn into muscle over 2 years. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like Kerry Muntz after a workout.
That's right. That's right. That's what I'm striving for. Still trying to turn that baby fat into muscle. 38 years in. You're right about getting big on the interior, I think is huge, and that's not taken away from what Locketer and God dog it, who's the other guy?
Gotcha.
God, thank you, gotcha.
Gotcha.
Can do. But having a guy, and that's what I think, that Rashard Lawrence is a guy who kind of fits that mold. What you're talking about, Pat, a big dude, 6'3", 305, kind of. He's taller than Lavallee, but Lavallee was a guy. Chad Lavallee was a guy who kind of did that.
In 03,
the 03 season. Lavallee was he definitely wasn't the most physically gifted guy, but he plugged in the middle and he made plays. He beat double teams at times, and he was responsible for tripping Eli Manning. So that was,
hear a little bit of Miles' this conference. I just heard a little bit on a ride home. Who was the guy that he was talking about that plays defense, just plays violent? I want to say it was a linebacker he was talking about.
Divinity? Was it Divinity?
Is that who he was talking about when he said that?
I'm trying to remember.
If he was talking about a linebacker, it probably was Divinity. He was he's the most notable. Him or Savion Smith. Those are the two linebackers.
They were talking about one, just how violent he plays, and I was thinking back to, like, man, if he plays as violent as, like, Leonard Fournette runs the ball on offense, he is going to be a monster.
Yeah, no kidding. And we need that. Like, we have no line. We have Beckwith, obviously, who's going to be very good, but who else, you know? So yeah, he's got a great chance to, like, start versus Wisconsin just for pure need.
Yeah, without question. Because, I mean, after Beckwith is a bunch of guys who have been playing special teams. You got Duke Riley. And and yeah, exactly. Duke Riley. I have no, and, no idea.
No, but that's exactly right. And who?
So I don't
think you've also got some guys that can in the new defense that can slide from that. Very that true. D-end back to linebacker or vice versa.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to be really curious to see how Aranda utilizes. Because you get a lot of guys who can be versatile with you. I mean, you think about Arden Key, who is about as thin a defensive end as you've seen. But if you want to flip flop it and go with a 30 base, he can easily step up to the outside linebacker position and have him standing up instead of coming off the edge. In a stance, you know. So, I think you have possibilities there. It just all depends on, you know, what he does with what he has, and can the guys out on the field, you know, comprehend what he's trying to work into the defense and understand their assignments and make plays. But yeah, having Kendall Beckwith back for him is huge, because you can do a lot of things, especially with some of the guys coming in now. Like I said, I mean, I think you'll see Divinity and Smith, you know, look to get playing time right away. Rashard Lawrence will be in the mix as far as the rotation in the defense. I mean, you got big guys, yeah, backing up Locketeur and Gotcho as well. You got Gilmore and
Heron, yeah.
Yes, Frank Heron. So, you know, big game. And you got Lewis Neal still, you know,
yeah,
a defensive end. That's a guy who was quietly had probably the best season on defense.
Yeah, he really did.
I mean, he really, towards the end, was just a beast. So just very quietly, all the attention was focused on, you know, Kendall Beckwith for obvious reasons, but you fall in love with the speed rusher and Key. But I mean, Lewis Neal was a guy who, you know, kind of he's built more like Marcus Spears was at defensive end, making plays. You know, towards the end of the season. So, you know, those guys coming back with these guys added on were just big key. And something I heard on the radio during a week was just how important it is. You want to start trying to build something a little bit better here. And how good is it for guys like Divinity and Savion Smith to come in for a year and to have Kendall Beckwith there as well. You know, that's pretty key. Same thing with defensive backs coming in. Trey White still, you know, Trey White, all the guys that came back for the senior year, for those freshmen to be under the, you know, I guess their tutelage, so to speak, I think would really pay off, you know, a couple of years down the line with this class. We'll see. They were talking about the class of 2012, and I think maybe only a handful of those guys are actually still on the team. From guys who left early to guys who got, you know, either transferred or kicked off the team or whatever. I mean, the most notable guy from that class, I think, was a 3-star on Jalen Mills. So, it's, you know, you don't really take, you know, people get so wrapped up in the 5-star, 4-star things. It's, you know, who's going to come in and put in the work and do the things necessary to make the team better? That's what it boils down to. You know, you want to try to establish something and build something a little bit better here. And you got something going well. You just need to – there's some things that need to be fine-tuned more offensively than defensively. I think, you know, the Aranda hire, which we talked about the show we did a few weeks ago, Pat, Dan wasn't with us on that when that was me, Pat, and Billy. But, I mean, I think across the board, I think Dan would agree it was a home run hire.
And, yeah, absolutely.
So –
well, Kerry, you know kind of what the key has always been to our best defenses is that safety. Think about it. Even when the safety was some small white boy sitting in the back, and no, I mean, it was what it was. He was the coach of the defense, and that's what you need back there is a coach of that defense to see the field, look, move over here, get over there. He can see everything. That has been the key when we have had the top-ranked defenses in the country.
You think about it. Yeah, you think about it. At 03 was Laron Landry. 07 was God dog it.
Stelts?
Stelts. Yeah, Stelts was that guy.
Yeah, he was huge.
11 was Brandon Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
So, Patrick, you mean absolutely right. That's something we've talked about before, Pat, in previous years. Now, who's that guy this year? I mean, Jamal Adams, he's going to be a junior now. I think he's the guy that's going to, you know, step up and be that guy.
He is, but Jamal Adams is more of a playmaker rather than a, in my opinion, you know.
Well, LeBron was a playmaker too.
He was, but LeBron saw the field a little bit. And we'll see. You know, obviously you've got another year to mature. You've been in the scheme for, you know, a couple years now, so you'll see where he is. But I'm kind of thinking, obviously, Trey White's, he's on the edge, but still, he's kind of the leader back there right now. But you've got some serious talent coming in at the corner. So can he possibly make a move to that kind of free safety type of position where he can guard a person but also see everything?
It's possible. It depends on what kind of corners are vying for playing time behind him, and do we think they can get the job done. So,
true. You know, and we're talking about all these, you know, when they say 5 stars and 4 stars and 3s, I was telling somebody this earlier today that when you're looking at a 5-star, to me that 5-star is the person that is physically developed already. He's kind of like, not necessarily that he's peaked, but he's peaked earlier than some of these 4s and 3s. I look at the 4s and 3s as the guys that, you know, they've come from some of these schools that, let's face it, they probably, some of these schools they come from are just poor. They barely have weight rooms in there. They're just out there on pure talent. And so that's where the coaching and that recruiting really has got to come to see that future, to see that scouting and see, all right, you know, I'm going to get him in a weight room with Moffitt, and we're going to get this guy up 20 pounds. I can see the potential in him. So some of these 3s are going to wind up being 5s, and some of these 5s, in the past, it's panned out where they've already developed where they're going to, they can come in right away and play, but the down the road, the upside down the road is more with the 3s and 4s. Unless you have a Leonard Fournette, which is just a freak of nature.
Yeah.
He defies all odds.
Yeah, he does. He's it's good having him back too.
Yeah.
it wasn't a decision for him. He was just a sophomore, but, you know, he's got some unfinished business. Mr. Fournette, so.
Let's hope so.
You know, all in all, like I said, all in all, I mean, just, I had the damn list pulled up for all the recruits. I was trying to go over some of the other guys, and I just lost it.
Well, you got your offensive lineman.
While I'm finding out, did anybody read the letter from wide receiver Drake Davis?
The
one from Florida?
Facebook right now. He went to IMG Academy, but he's from Baton Rouge.
Yeah, the one that that was the one that was the lifelong Florida fan.
No, this is a guy. He went to Dunham High before transferring to the IMG Academy. It was like open letter about why he chose LSU, and it was basically a little narrative of, you know, him being on the field during the Texas A&M game and betting his friend that was with him that Les Miles would come up and hug him rather than shaking his hand, and, you know, talking about how it was a tough decision, but really it wasn't, because this is his home and he's looking forward to putting in the work to, you know, win a championship, play right away, things like that. And he's a big wide receiver too. He's like 6'4", 215. So, that's something I saw on that, something I saw on the internet earlier. A few people that had shared it, and I'm still trying to find a damn signing class.
Well, I was reading or listening to the story of the guy that it might have been Smith that grew up a lifelong Gators fan forever, always wanted to play for him, and when he made the decision to go to LSU, he kind of came out and said it's strictly a business decision, knowing that, you know, people coming out of LSU are going to the pros at DB and they're successful, touting Matthew Peterson and those guys.
That's cool too.
Yeah, yeah. When you snipe a Florida guy, it's cooler than yours.
That's the question. I'm still waiting for this damn list to come up.
It's a good call.
Kerry's on the slow internet server.
He's got the dial-up.
No, everything else was working fine, and then I don't know. Anyway, screw it. Okay.
Now, out of this signing class, how many you think are getting? Are going to be redshirted, and how many you really think are going to do something next year?
The trend has been, what, 60-70% have been playing as true freshmen?
Yeah, and some, like, special teams maybe, but...
Yeah.
But, exactly. Seeing the field, yeah.
When the fact that we have more coming back this year and not leaving early, you know, it's going to make it a little bit more difficult for some of these guys this year to see the field than in the past when we actually really had to have them.
That's a good point that Kerry was making earlier, too. Like, it helps having Beckwith around to not just teach the young guys, but also they aren't immediately having to, like, be the starter and be an important piece. You know, they can take backup reps and learn slowly and not be like, okay, we need you right now to play. Whereas, like, a guy like even Arden Key, who's amazing, I think he's going to be great, but, like, we pretty much had to play him right away.
Yeah.
Or Beckwith, even as a freshman, like, he played defensive end. Remember that for a little bit? And he wasn't that good at it, but we just needed someone.
That seems like so long ago. Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, it really does.
I do remember him playing DN. Yeah, they were just trying to get him on the field.
Yeah.
But yeah, you think about, Arden Key having to play right away. Why? Because Rasko graduated and Daniil Hunter, left early.
Yeah.
But you're thinking about usually these days, guys that are redshirt, usually offensive line. That's most of your skill positions won't redshirt. I mean, maybe a couple here and there. I mean, for instance, Justin McMillan, quarterback from last year, he redshirted. I don't know if Lindsey Scott does or not. I don't know. I don't know. A lot of people were kind of, that's somebody we haven't talked about yet, was Lindsey Scott. You know, a guy, he made his decision, Friday? In LSU, he was kind of an afterthought, and LSU had to kind of scramble and find somebody after getting spurned by Philippe Franks. So it was between us and Maryland, and he had an offer from Harvard. He's a smart 4.0 student from Zachary, and ultimately chose
3.8, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Early enrollees, Pat.
I know. Well, sometimes I have a fact and sometimes I don't. When I do, I have to throw it in there.
Good job, though. Thanks for keeping me up on the GPA. Thanks for picking me up on a GPA. it'd be interesting to see. It's another, the Lindsey Scott recruitment is interesting. They were scrambling just trying to find somebody or it's another dual threat quarterback for a system that doesn't lend itself to dual threat guys, but is LSU going to start to change its philosophy a little bit? I don't know. I mean, I don't think we need to completely do away with what we're doing. We just need to, and something else, and I've been saying this for a few years now. There's no, when LSU runs a play, they're not doing anything to set up another play. And I can't remember, Dan, if y'all were talking about this the other day, or if I heard this on a radio somewhere, but there's no A plus B equals C in LSU's offensive approach sometimes. Sometimes it's 2 + 2 = 6. It's almost just like going to college just to take courses, just say you're going to college.
Are you stretching the field in order to back those linebackers up so you can hit them up the middle for a gash on break?
And it's something that, and I don't want to, this is more about a signing day class. I don't want to get into another whole discussion about it's LSU's offensive philosophy and what you would be doing. And
well, it may not matter in 2 days, right?
Yeah.
It may not. So who knows? Cam Cameron, is he staying? Is he going? We don't know. That was another thing that popped up later on throughout the day. And they were saying that they were going to hang on during the season. An offense was struggling. There was, speculation. I mean, they were talking about his contract being up. But he's got his hand in the ring on a lot of key recruits, and once the signing class is in, once his contract's up, we're not renewing it, that kind of deal. I don't know. I think about Mettenberger's third year, and one of our other good friends, Patrick, you'll be astonished by this, but Joe said, look at Mettenberger's second-year stats versus Harris's second-year stats. They're pretty comparable. Now, does Harris make that leap that Mettenberger made? I don't know. Mettenberger was throwing the ball to Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
Do we have two more guys like that on the field? I don't know.
I don't know, but you just picked up three wide receivers that are 6'4", 6'5", and 6'6".
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, and Harris definitely ain't going anywhere after his junior year. He ain't going pro. Let's see, all of a sudden he turns.
Well, that's the only difference, though, that I, and I love to argue with Joe because it's so much fun. But think about it. Mettenberger came in with a pro upside.
Yeah.
Whereas Harris, I hate to say it, has no, as of right now anyway, has no pro upside.
Yeah, I mean, Mettenberger fit perfectly with what Cam and Miles wanted to do, and he had two NFL receivers he was throwing the football to. It's just a matter of LSU just doing things that you see glimpses of it sometimes, too, and that's what's so frustrating about the way they run offense, and it always tends to happen in bowl games. And during the middle of the season, they go away from it, and it kills me, but,
You know what's funny? This recruiting class just kind of almost reminds you of the season. You've been number one. You started out at the top. You were there. Then all of a sudden, you got later in the day, and it's like, oh, crap, this guy went here. This guy went there. Alabama's now coming. Alabama started out slow, meaning like they lost early in the year in football. All of a sudden, they're back at number one, and, LSU's taking that second seat again, so to speak. I know it's hard to – I'm just trying to parallel the season and that, but it's just kind of funny the way that works. It's almost like we couldn't close. There are a lot of people out there that are disappointed with this class. To me, I'm ecstatic. We addressed a defensive need, but, man, I'm hearing some people out there that are just like, oh, man, we didn't get number one. The sky is falling. I mean, come on.
I wouldn't worry about that. I mean, the follow thing sucks, but.
Heck with it. If he wanted to go to Texas, let him go to Texas. Heck with it. His mama said, going to Texas, he's going to Texas.
That's pretty much what happened.
in a friend group text earlier, I jokingly said, well, there's not much difference between, playing for a team who's going 6-6 versus a team that's going to go 8-4. So.
Cold. That's cold.
They're just playing a bowl game a few days ahead of us.
Maybe.
Maybe. But I was shedding humor to the disappointment of him flipping. So he was a much needed linebacker. It would have added some depth, and it sucks. But you know what? We got Dave Aranda, and I'm sure a full season under him.
Aranda's got twice the amount of talent he had at Wisconsin. Imagine what he's going to do with this.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about also recruiting guys that. They're going to fit what he wants to do defensively, too, in the years, coming up. So,
you want to touch on anybody else's class or anything more out there?
I'm not touching anybody, Patrick.
Well, I would hope not, you freaking...
I don't know enough about anybody else's class to really...
I mean, you just come to surprise... I'm not talking about people in general. I'm just talking about some of the people that kind of surprised and stepped up. Or did you hear... read or hear Bielema's comments about Florida and Ole Miss recruiting?
I saw the headline. I didn't watch the video though. What did he say?
I kind of read a little bit of it. He was just accusing them of doing some wacky things. Maybe Dan read it a little more than we did, but I just kind of saw it out there. I was wondering if y'all did see anything or read anything.
Yeah, he basically said. Well, he was on ESPN, too, and said something about Florida is doing things like Ole Miss now, which just came across like, oh, they're recruiting dirty or something.
Yeah, but and then he called.
Then he came back.
Yeah, I guess. Later in the day? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and then he came back and said, no, I meant that as a compliment, but it was like, what? None of it really made sense, but.
Yeah, yeah, I guess in the midst of the possible violations for Ole Miss, yeah, he takes a jab at Florida like that, I don't know if I like Bielema or hate him. I think I'm starting to like him.
I don't know. The only school that really surprised me that was really down, because I kind of looked at all the rankings and who they had a little while ago, was Dan Mullen, for as much as he came in with all the hype at Mississippi State, and I know he only had a chance to sign like 13 or 14 players this time, but man, they were way down. They almost were behind Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
Yeah, they're going to
– not a good class for them.
Yeah, they're going to realize just how average of a coach he is again now that Dak Prescott's not his quarterback. He was on the hot seat like 2 years ago, you know, before Dak Prescott became Dak Prescott. The dude was going like 6-6 every year, and, you know, it's, I guess, not good enough in Starkville. You know, and now that they went the last two seasons, they won, what, 9-10 games? He has some pretty lofty expectations. So, I mean, they go 5-7, something like that. I don't think he gets fired at the end of the season, but he's going to go into 2017, you know, needing to do something. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's a tough division to compete in, man. There's no doubt about it.
When you got the top three recruiting classes in the country coming out of your side of the division between LSU, Ole Miss, and Alabama, good luck.
I mean, it's the freaking, like we say almost every year, it's the National League East of football. It is the football where the National League East is to Major League Baseball. I mean, it's a freaking, what's the word?
Juggernaut.
Yeah, juggernaut. That was one of the words. Wasn't the exact phrase I was looking for.
It sounded cool. But, you know, it's a long word.
It did. Yeah, it was
more than
solid.
Five letters. Yeah.
It was solid. So.
What else you got for us, Mr. Muntz?
I don't know. Ben Simmons took 15 shots last night. I was pretty happy to see that. And he took more shots in the first 8 minutes of that game last night than he did the entire game against Oklahoma. He took 7 shots against Oklahoma.
But he made 6 of them.
You know how many three-pointers Buddy Hield made? 7. Ben Simmons, our All-American, high-tech guy, only took 7 shots.
By the way, you went to the game and they lost, so I got nothing to say to you on that one.
No, but I was there against Arkansas and they won.
Oh, wow. So
I can't go to the big games? Is that what you're saying?
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. The conference game's pretty big. So.
No, it was good. I watched the game last night. He took control early and then got his teammates involved after, which, you know, you have to do that on the road. And they were even saying that on the TV last night. You know, he kind of thrives against the hostile crowds as opposed to teammates playing a little higher, a little bit with a little more emotion at home. So, but, you know, he's like, you know, he's our Leonard Fournette of basketball, obviously, but we're only going to see him this 1 year. It's a daggone shame. But I know the pros are salivating, seeing his skills, his passing, everything else that he can do. He develops a solid, you know, mid-range to three-point line type of jumper. Oh, man, it's going to be nasty.
He's got one. He just doesn't show it. He knocked down about an 18-footer last night. And when his stroke is going, man, you can tell when he's shooting his free throws. When he's got his stroke going, it's a very smooth-looking shot.
That's what everyone says when you watch on TV. It's like they're always like, the people say he can't shoot. It's like, I've sat out here and watched him for 30 minutes during warmups. Let me tell you, he can shoot. I think it's that he's not aggressive, like you guys are saying.
Yeah, he's
for whatever reason.
They shy away him, and he's not the only one. I've seen Craig Victor do it down low too, where they'll get inside and instead of just going up strong, they'll kind of do a little fadeaway here and there, and I just think sometimes he drives a lane and he just doesn't go up as strong as he should. I know he's got to protect his investment, but, you know, and I can't say I blame him, everybody wants him to kind of have more of a killer instinct because they realize that, you know, he is essential to LSU making a tournament, and, you know, They've got to go. They won last night, which was key. They could not afford to lose last night. They got to beat Mississippi State at home. If you got no business losing to Mississippi State in Baton Rouge,
I think beat A&M at home on that Saturday, and that'll solidify the deal.
You got so they're 7-2. They're 7-2. I think they have 9 conference games left. So if they can go,
they're 7-2 again, they're fine.
Or if they duplicate what they did in the first half, they're fine. They're in. 6-3, because you got to go at South Carolina, you got to go to Kentucky.
You just got to get to that 20 win mark.
So they finished conference, let's say 13-5. That would put them at what, 11 losses? That would put them at 20-11.
Mm-hmm.
I think. And you win one or two games in the tournament, yeah, they're in. They're
especially with Simmons on the team, they're going to make that call. TV's going to make that call.
Oh yeah, they can say all they want. They don't take that kind of stuff into consideration. That's a bunch of bullshit. You know, if they're looking at teams on a bubble and LSU's one of them, and they say, okay, we got LSU, they got Ben Simmons, he's going to be number one pick in the draft, and we got, I don't know, just throwing a team out there, I don't know, Dartmouth, you know. Yeah, they're going to go LSU over whoever, you know. They'll stick Dartmouth either in a play-in game or, you know, I'm sorry, the first round.
Even going to take into account the fact that we had Oklahoma down 14 points and we blew it. But, you know, they looked at that. That was nationally televised. So we're
that's because your coach went down. That's because your coach didn't drop any plays to get him the ball. That's what really pissed me off. He should have just said, give me the ball. Huh?
Got mad at the game?
Did I get mad at the game? I didn't get.
Come on. You didn't throw your hat?
I didn't have my hat on. No, I did have a hat on. I didn't throw it though.
Anyway.
I didn't throw it though. I was well behaved.
Darn shame.
So, I know.
So, anyway.
Go Tigers.
What else we got to say?
I don't know. Baseball starts in like, what, a week? 2 weeks? I know it's usually what, the weekend after Valentine's.
16th.
It's like the third, 16th. Oh shit! 16th. Okay, it's really early. That's like a Monday night. Oh, it's a Tuesday.
All
night.
About facts tonight. I'm on top of it.
Say that again.
I'm all about facts tonight. I'm on top of my stuff.
So they start February 16th, and that's when Chris Blair, the new voice of Tigers, makes his official debut. He will start off the baseball season, and let Hawthorne finish the basketball season.
So, forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss old Jim Hawthorne.
Yeah.
So, well, at least you'll get the information correct on the player names and stuff now.
It's okay. I'd like a little, you know. We need some more.
You know, and in the past, you were like, God, I can't stand Hawthorne. Now that he's leaving, you love him.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that sad? we're such fair weather fans.
But at least we admit it.
But man, like I said, look. I don't think we ever had a chance to talk. We didn't really talk about this on the show a few weeks ago, Patrick, and we didn't do a show since the A&M game. Or did we? Did we? I can't remember. Did we do a bowl game show, Pat?
No, we did not.
No, because
we did not. Thank you.
Podcat wanted to do it on Christmas Day. Remember?
That's right. Hey, anybody busy? Anybody busy? December 25th. No, like Hawthorne, you know, you get kind of irritated listening to him sometimes because it's radio, and you know, he's getting older and he's not as, you know, crazy with his calls, you know, as you maybe like him to be. Or he screws up names when he's calling, you know, calling the plays.
Like or Bob Uecker drinking out there.
Or what have you. Yeah. But it's just, I mean, like we talked, us three were on a show the week before A&M talking about Les Miles no longer being a coach. And we were all for it. And by 11 o'clock Saturday night after that A&M game, I fell in love with that bastard all over again. I was like putting his hands. He come out, you know, he tips his cap before the game, and he's singing the alma mater. He tells, I can't remember who the sideline reporter was. Maybe it was Maria Taylor. He's like, hold on, lady. I got to sing the alma mater with my team. And I'm like, you bastard. I said, you got me again, you asshole. I'm sitting. I met my wife's parents' house in Memphis, Tennessee, on a Friday night, 11 o'clock. Everybody else is in bed, and I'm sitting on my father-in-law's couch wiping away tears, you know, like a little pansy, because Les Miles tipped his cap and told Maria Taylor, I'm singing an alma mater with my team. And I'm like, man, I guess we can go 8-4 again next year. That's cool.
Oh, man. You guys are going to be just absolutely miserable next year if things don't go well. Well,
that's all right, Kerry's gonna bet his Tundra against something. We're gonna be good to go.
Yeah. Just quick correction there. Baseball season starts on February 19th.
See, I told you the 19th.
Yeah, they never started them. Yeah, they know they start the season on a
dyslexic.
I'll do better than that.
Dyslexic. Why you didn't correct me?
That's not even the true form of dyslexia. Dyslexia would be February 61st.
Maybe it's upside down dyslexia. I don't know.
All right, signing day over and out. So so next time we might come to you around Selection Sunday in about 4 weeks, 5 weeks. So hopefully some good news for LSU. Hopefully LSU can close out the basketball season strong like they did in recruiting today. Good signing day. I don't care if it's 3, 4, 5, 1, 2. It addressed needs like we talked about. New D coordinator, maybe a new O coordinator next time we come to you. We don't know. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. And this has been the Go Show. Heard exclusively at innovalleyshoke.com, along with Dan and Sneaky Good Podcast. And how many episodes have you done so far, Dan? Like 2, 3?
Just two.
What's the name? What do y'all call your show? Just a podcast? Or do you have a name?
I've been calling it the Sneaky Good Podcast like the whole damn hour.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't pay attention to you.
Come on. Get with it. Okay. No. All right. So, hey everybody. If you're still listening at this point, I don't know why. It's hard to close out a show when it's not football season. I have trouble with this. This is what I get better at. Maybe I just sit, you know. It's okay. Hey, we're done talking. Goodbye. In about a month, we'll come back. I said that already. And, spring football. First looks at Dave Aranda and anybody else there. So for Patrick, for Dan, for Pocket, who was praying to whatever God he prays to, that this mercifully comes to an end. I bid y'all adieu. Good night. And we'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.